So in this moment, we'll ask again everyone to give attention to your bodies, to where you are sitting, where you are, where we all are together, continuing our journey on the Nile, going back now on our way to Luxor, and just feeling the soft warm to a little bit cold breeze that's coming in again. And the beautiful sunset of the sun Ra upon us and all the land, quieting our minds, our circling thoughts, moving our attention, our energy, our focus to our hearts, to our body, allowing ourselves to feel more of our energy, of our emotions, taking slow, nourishing, conscious breath, feeling every cell, every molecule, our nervous system, every part of our body, organs, filling with energy and vitality, with nourishment that comes from the earth, that comes from the environment around us, that comes from Gaia, that comes from the river, and also from spirit, from God, from Source, from our higher self, from our divinity, breathing all that in as one energy that is all complementing each other, that all fits beautifully right here, right now, in this moment, in this group energy, creating a beautiful circle of hearts, beautiful quiet resonance of peace, of benevolence, of a gentle, compassionate flow between everyone and everything around us. Breathe and allow yourself to open up and simply feel the flow and love from each other to one another. The energetic multidimensional portals and flow that goes between us, that we may not see with our physical eyes, but they are alive and constantly communicating and talking and receiving information through the vibration, through the frequency, in a language that's beyond these words and are far grand, richer than even we can imagine. We had a beautiful excursion today through the land of Egypt and the desert into the most ancient temple yet to be discovered in Egypt, the Temple of Abydos, that was built by Seti I, dedicated to the god Osiris, and had the opportunity to feel the honor, the gratitude, the sacredness for what that temple was built for, and the history and the thousands and thousands of years that it held a place in this ancient land and still is very special for Egypt and especially for those who visit it repeatedly. They feel the source of God that is alive in that temple, and they keep going back there. So allow yourself to connect with your source, with your source of God that has no beginning and no end. No beginning and no end. An ocean of love, a river of love.
And from that beautiful place of coherence, let us remind ourselves that we are traveling on the Nile River. The Nile represents life. It is the lifeblood, the life force of Egypt. We are but guests in this beautiful land with this ancient, ancient history. And I invite all of you in this moment to transmit the energy of gratitude into the molecules of water beneath us, and let those molecules of water filled with our gratitude touch the shores of both the East Bank and the West Bank, and sending all of our gratitude to those who are here, sending all of our gratitude to Gaia for having this life force, this water that brings crops, food, resources to this entire continent. And as we continue sending our gratitude to the Nile River, think of this stripe that we are leaving behind us as we travel, and where else those water molecules will continue to be carried, flowing down through the delta. Think of all those other places that our gratitude is being sent to, sending our love and gratitude through the water, which eventually evaporates and goes up into the clouds. And as those clouds form and have rain, those raindrops will be now raining down into another area, still holding that vibration you in this moment are sending of gratitude and thanks and love and benevolence. We are so grateful. Thank you for bringing us this magnificent day, and thank you, and bring us more.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. Going south today on the Nile, having just visited Abydos, this group finds itself listening yet again in the sun, this time on the deck, as the sun sets. Let me give you some insight on Egypt. For today, and I waited till now to tell you, there's history before history. There's also, again, consensus reality of what happened here. Egyptians are very, very proud, and they should be, of an elegant society that lasted as long as it did, and that left a history on the walls of the temples it built. Temples so strong that they've lasted for thousands of years. But the consensus reality refuses to believe that perhaps there was history before history here that was also elegant, or perhaps was the precursor of that which is ancient Egypt, even older than Abydos. And there's evidence of that, dear ones, right in back of Abydos. For those of you who went into that back excavation, you saw something that was quite a bit lower than the ground that the temple sits on. That temple had to be uncovered, dear ones, like all the other ones. But then they started digging deeper. On an entire different level that was lower, they named it Osiron. I ask you, isn't it odd that it was so much lower than Abydos? And if you were an architect, what would that tell you when you have stratas of history? They build upon themselves. Sometimes they don't even know they build upon themselves. Cities upon cities, they dig down and find a former city. Take a look at what you saw in your pictures in Osiron. Does it look like the current building techniques of the Egyptians? Or is it simpler? Take a good look. Dear ones, that particular dig represents history before history. But you will not hear an Egyptologist tell you that, because they're very proud that it all started 5,000 years ago. It didn't. There was elegance even before that. They knew about the stars even before that. They mapped things even before that. Up to 10,000 years is the history in the sand, dear ones. And someday they will carbon date that, and they will keep it a secret for a while, until the students in the university demand that it be updated. The narrative, the story, the consensus reality is very, very difficult to change. It's difficult to change in physics, astronomy, chemistry, medicine, and history. And I've told you that before. But I tell you that now because you looked down upon something that was very special. History before history. I told you earlier also, it's what is missing that is really telling. Now you've been to temple after temple. Abydos, Hathor, filled with so much information on the walls. More than you can imagine. Thousands and thousands of figures, stories, day-by-day experience. You've seen everyday experience for the Egyptians so far. You're going to see more. There'll be depictions even of their struggles and their wars coming that you'll see. But what have you seen so far? You've seen how they work with each other, who they worshiped and how, who followed whom and what they did. You've seen depictions of their dancing, their playing, their worship, day by day. You've seen depictions of them hunting and fishing. All of those are on the walls. Now, here is my question. What are Egyptians, ancient Egyptians, famous for? And if you go around the world and ask even children of other cultures, what are the Egyptians famous for? And they will say pyramids, building. And you have no one depiction of them building anything. And yet that is the grandest thing you see. How'd they do it? It's marvelous. Look how long it's lasted. How did they put that there and make this so perfect in architecture and perspective, and not one depiction of them building anything. And that should tell you, again, I will say it, too sacred to put on the walls. That was from God. How they did it, the plans, they haven't found any. Not even the architect's tombs have been discovered. Interesting. Let me give you one more before we talk about woe. How many of you have put this together? In the Valley of the Queens, you went into that, which is that beautiful Nefertari tomb. Gorgeous it is. And you saw the work that they have exposed and restored. Beautiful. How long did that take? Years, perhaps. Indeed. All of them took years. And they were underground. Question. How did the carvers see what they were doing? And you'll say, well, they obviously brought in candles of some kind, of light of some kind. Remember, dear ones, they were very aware that smoke, even in the years they built it, would deteriorate everything they would do it, blacken everything, and ruin it. So how did they do it? What light did they use? Now, some in modern societies would say, obviously, they must have had electricity. They must have had something we don't know about, something very, very technical. Perhaps not. I give you this. What if their elegance of their chemistry and how they blended oils created candles without smoke? Vats of oil that did not smoke. Is it possible? I'll leave that to you. But still, it's one of the mysteries, is it not? They had to have light to do what they did, underground, without the sun. Woe has not shown up. He was supposed to, and he did not. And Yusha is waiting for him there. But he knew he wouldn't come. Because Woe is still pondering one of the biggest questions of life. About himself, about God. And the question is this. Is God bigger than I was ever told? Are the attributes around God bigger than I was ever told? Is there a relationship between a human being, the soul, and the creative source, which is bigger than I was ever told? Is it possible that there is a field of consciousness that I can tap into? All of these things, some frighten Woe, because they go against everything he was told. Some of you know how this feels. For you grew up one way, had it all explained to you, participated in it, and then you awaken to a bigger truth. Some of you on your own, some of you with others. And at some point, those who are listening to this, either here or later, had to make a choice and go with that which felt good to them in their heart. And that was a God which cared, a God which had no punishment, a God which had only love. And the only thing that Creator has asked is that you would find in yourself the peace that belongs to God inside everyone. Strong it is. So Yusha is here, dear ones, and Yusha wants to talk to you. Timeless this parable is. It'll be listened to for a very long time after this cruise. But right now on this earth, on this world, things are happening. And that's what Yusha wants to discuss with you. In the now, most of those listening, including those on the deck of this riverboat, are in comfort. You have enough to eat. You have jobs, perhaps. But you're not in trouble. Not really. You're working the puzzle of life the best you can. Those on this particular ship, this boat, relaxing now, watching beauty as it goes by and reveals itself, learning history, being fed well. All of you right now who listen to this can do something exceptional. Far away, there are families who a few weeks ago lived a normal life, just like you. They were eating meals, laughing, having children, and then suddenly they were at war. They couldn't believe it. It wasn't something that happens in this day and age. They weren't expecting it. Call it horror, if you wish, because it was. And some have gone into that which is despair. Over 3 million have scampered across the border to get away from it, and the rest stayed. They've lost loved ones. They've lost children. It doesn't get worse than that. And here you sit. There is power in consciousness that is light. Power. Consciousness has so much energy to do things you didn't know it could do. And Yusha wants to tell you about that. And here's what he has to say. The field is real and it is everywhere on the planet. It's like a storehouse of consciousness, and whatever you put into it and on it goes everywhere. But the most sacred thing you can do is put light on the field, because it immediately is seen by those who need it. Have you ever been in trouble, in despair, light worker? And perhaps you've stepped out of your home and walked to a place of nature. Perhaps you sat down next to a brook of running water, a tree, a grass, and perhaps you've just been with yourself for a moment. And in that moment, perhaps, just perhaps, there are those who realize that all of their troubles and their worries started to evaporate just for that moment, and there was some peace. And some of you could look up to the heavens and even raise your hand and say, thank you for loving me so much that I have these moments of peace. That's the field. What you do right now in these moments together can give peace to those who are in trouble, who are wringing their hands in desperation and despair, who are hungry and don't know what's happening next and if they will ever, ever be normal again. Will they have a place to live? Will they have a job? Will they have food? And it continues. And here's what we can do together right now. I want you to visualize not them in trouble, but them in peace. If it's possible for you to conjure up the most peaceful thing you can think about right now, and just breathe in the essence of love and compassion and kindness, and I want you then project it to that which you believe might be the field. Make it clouds if you wish, because the field is invisible. Anything you do, because it will be seen and gathered, because you are sending energy to that which goes right to those who need it. That's how it works. That's what you felt, perhaps, when you walked into nature. It wasn't simply Gaia. That's where it collected. And that's where you could pull upon that which is sent. Because there are meditators all over this planet who do this 24/7. But now it's time for more. That's the call to prayer that you hear in this great land, where they're dedicated to just that. They're doing the same, dear ones. They send the energy into the field for that which they know is the creative source. Right now, I'm asking you, just take a moment and project this to all of those who need you. It's very real. I ask one more thing. This comes from Yusha. Before you go to bed tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to put your feet on the floor and just take a moment or two to do this again. And when you get up in the morning, swing your feet around, put them on the floor. Before you do anything else, take a breath and do it again. And if you like the way this feels, because you are giving and receiving at the same time from the field, if you like the way this feels, perhaps, just perhaps, you might make it into something beautiful that you do morning and night, just for a moment. Your own time where you do nothing but send it to others. That's all you do. This is what your incredible light work awakening has done for you. You have a powerful consciousness because you know God is bigger. You know about the field. You know that reality can be controlled. You know that you can send peace where it's needed. That's what you do. You have been given this moment of beauty and peace for yourself in order to then share it to those on the other side of the planet or close by, wherever you are listening to this right now. Woe will be back, but for now, these are the instructions from this man, this guide, Yusha. I am crying in love with humanity, and for good reason. All of these things, dear ones, in this awakening time, in this great shift, will pass eventually. And history will show that Earth did something it never did before. The humanity did something that was unexpected about war. It chose not to have one. First time. Things are changing, dear ones. And so it is.